Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Did everyone have a nice vacation while I was gone? So, yeah, Lisa and I had a whirlwind tour of Florida this week. So it was very, very busy. Family time after family time, but it was really a lot of fun. We really enjoyed ourselves and enjoyed our nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and cousins, and we had the whole gamut. So, but it was a busy week for sure. I need a vacation for my vacation. So that kind of gives me the topic of my sermon too. Actually, I kind of feel like a hypocrite because the title is Work, 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 All I Do Is Work, but I went on vacation. So, but for those who work a traditional work week, you know, we all look forward to Fridays, don't we? I hear everybody, and we're in meetings, everyone's, and of course they use God's name in vain, but they say, oh, I'm so thankful it's Friday, and they say, and it's a double whammy because it's payday too, so they get all excited for Friday, and they get all excited for payday, so that makes it even better. You know, we all like to be rewarded for our work, don't we? You know, Jesus states that we will be rewarded for our work in Revelation 22:12. So let's turn there today, our first scripture, or at least look on the screen. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. To his work. What is a worker worth? Have we ever thought of our worth in work? You know, we should value our work and value the work of others, too. I mean, it's not just our work. It's the work that other people are doing, too. When people do a good job, I mean, that's something we should value in this life, and I think people take for granted anymore. They're really not looking at that quality. Maybe there's not so much quality. Maybe that's part of the problem, but there are still a lot of people who put quality work and effort into what they're doing. There's even a greater value in work when it's done for God, isn't it? When we do it for God, there's a much greater value in it. You know, we need to come to the realization that everything that we do, every action and every thought that we have should be for God, our Father, and Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that we're to bring every thought into the obedience and captivity of Jesus Christ. So that's something that we should do, and that's very difficult, isn't it? I mean, if we think about that, every single thought, every action that we have is to be in the obedience of Jesus Christ. In the Ten Commandments, and you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to say here, the fourth commandment states that 6 days you shall work. You know, and that's part of the commandment, is that we work for 6 days, and then the seventh day we rest. I think a lot of people skip over that part, that we're to work for 6 days. God expects each and every one of us to work for six of those days, and then on the seventh day of rest, and that's very important too. That's a day that we cherish as God's true church. That's one of our signs as his people, and I say one of the signs. You know, they're both important. They work together, and God wants us to understand that. You know, each and every one of us has God-given talents. He gave every person in this room talents, I would have to say. It's not just one. God does not ill-equip his people. It's extremely important for us to find and to use those talents. And the younger that we are, when we find them, of course, the better off we are. We have time to hone them and to educate ourselves and to practice and make that practice to become more perfect. Now, I know I've heard from plenty of older people in their lives, they said, you know, I don't know what my talent is. I don't know what my talents are. But, you know, it's never too late. Never give up on finding those talents. Keep seeking, keep going after them, and don't be discouraged. God will help you if you really go to him. I think God will help you find those talents because he gave them to you. He wants you to use them. Maybe sometimes you overlook something that you're doing that's already a talent. Maybe it's something you just need to do more often. But never give up. I want to encourage you on that. But we have to do our part. We have to seek them, and we have to find the talents that he's given us. You know, each and every one of us has something tremendous to offer that no other individual can offer because they're not you. Everybody offers something special. God made you different from everybody else. Your experiences, your abilities, your thoughts, everything that happened that brings you to the table, who you are, your DNA. Only you can bring those experiences to the table. But we all need to remember, in the end, we need to hone them and all bring them to the glory of God. It's not us. It's allowing him to work in us. He gets the praise for that. He gave us those. But we do need to work at it. That's part of what we're hired to do by Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, Ecclesiastes 9, 10, I always love this one, and this is kind of the bop till you drop scripture, all right? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. And I don't mean bop till you drop till you die, but it does say here, you're not taking it to the grave. But our work will cease someday. And I think we need to keep that in mind when we go to do things. Well, there is going to be a day that we're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be showing up on our job every day. We're probably going to retire if we're fortunate enough. We're not going to be out there cutting the grass every day. We're not going to be. There's things, as we get older, some of those will have to cease. So when you can do it, when you're blessed enough to do it, appreciate those times. As they say, seize the day. You know, as lights of this world, you know, we need to keep in mind on how we do our work and how we approach it and our attitudes. We need to improve and seek opportunities because that does make a difference. People do watch us as God's people. You know, God created in each and every one of us a desire to accomplish things. We were created to build, to create, and to imagine. I mean, God gave us an imagination to do things. I mean, that's why we have engineers. That's why we have artists. That's why we have musicians. I mean, God gave us that creative ability. And some of us work with our hands. Some of us work with our minds. You know, that's why each and every one of us needs to work. Everybody has a job to do. You know, I really find people who don't work. I do see people, they work. They work how to probably take advantage of the system. There's a lot of people that do that. That seems to be their full-time job. But people who truly do not work and use the abilities and the talents that God gives them, they are not happy people. I mean, you can see them in the media. I mean, there's plenty of elites and Hollywood kids and things. And I've seen them throughout my lifetime and many of their lives because they've had things handed to them and they haven't gone out and learned to leap over those obstacles in life, to take those challenges, to build on what they're learning, and to take those challenges on. A lot of them are into drugs. They're into alcohol and a plethora of immoral activities. And if one doesn't have a purpose or have accomplishments, they'll never find happiness or fulfillment in this life, even at the physical level. You know, after 50 years in the workforce, I've been at the company I'm with now for 44 years, but I started working as a young teenager. You know, I can honestly say that no job will ever be the perfect job. Has anybody had a perfect job? I don't see any hands out there? Oh, I see one. Oh, I see two. That's good. Well, I'm talking about physical jobs. I'm talking about our jobs here, okay? But, you know, we will have a perfect job someday, so don't be discouraged of that. I mean, one day we will have true happiness and be absolutely fulfilled with what we're doing. But I don't believe in this physical life. We do have a perfect job at this point. You know, sometimes, and I've had to do this in my career, I've had to take one job to get another job. So it isn't always a part of the plan, but it's a stepping stone to get to where you are. And especially for young people, I think a lot of times they come in, I'll see some really very talented young technical young person come in, and they think they should be the boss already. And I'm sorry, there's going to be years you're going to take until you get there. There's going to be stepping stones. There's maturity and wisdom in that, and there's learning how to deal with people and things like that that come along with it. You might have some technical skills, but you're not going to the top right away. So I just want to warn a lot of young people that that's not what's going to happen. You're not going to be in that perfect job when you first go out into the workforce. But you want to go into it with the end goal in mind. I think if you're clear on that, and you're being real, that that's what's going to happen. You know, so many of us are so blessed to have the opportunity to even have a job in this country. We have brethren in other nations that would just love to have a regular paycheck so they could feed their families. And I don't think we as Christians should ever take that for granted, because I think whatever we're going through at the time, I mean, God has a plan for us, but we need to take action as well. I mean, it's not that he's going to hand people a better job and things. I think we have to hone our skills. I think we need to go out and look for a new job if that's what it takes. But I think we still need to be thankful and grateful for what we have, and especially in this country right now, we're still riding the wave. And if God's in your life, you'll keep improving and seeking those goals. And good goals are godly goals. Good goals are godly goals. And if God is in your life, you'll be obedient. He'll take you where he wants you to, and he'll take you where he wants you to in that effort. Whether it be a physical job out in the world, your career, or whether it be here in the church, God will take you there. You need to appeal to him. You need to pray to him and let him know that you need the help to understand where he wants you to be. Our Christian life is our career. Even when we have a career out in corporate America or whatever we're doing, working with our hands, whatever the career is, we're doing it for God. And I think we need to keep that in mind every day. They're not separate. They are not a separate thing. Our life is all encompassed around what we are as a Christian, as a career Christian. That's why we need to take God to work every day. God should be in our work day every day. We need to ask him to bless our minds, the work of our hands. We need to ask him to be lights to those people around us and to be wise with our employers. And ask him that our bosses see favor in each and every one of us. You know, that prayer has come true for me. I've had some bosses that have definitely given me a hard time in my past. And I prayed that they would see favor, and I've seen them turn around after it had been some time. I mean, God teaches you patience as well through things like that, but it's taken some time, and they have actually seen favor in me after not liking me coming out of the gate, just for whatever the reason might be, whatever their reason might be. But God will intervene, and he does answer prayers in that sense. But how are we honing our skills here at church? You know, we all have a job to do here as well. Or are we sitting on the sidelines? You know, some could be sitting on the sidelines. But, you know, God has a job for each and every one of us to do here at church as well. Are we non-productive employees? You know, that member of the team that everyone else is saying, man, that guy over there, he's just kind of riding with us over here. You know, I'd like to get him off my team. I want to get somebody else who really produces, or I'd like to have this person on my team. Well, we can't be that way. You know, in God's kingdom, our work will never cease. Our work will never cease. I know for some of us that sounds tiring. Does anybody need a vitamin? I think I have some in my briefcase here. But you know what? You won't need vitamins. It's going to be a joyous and fun work. It will be exhilarating. You won't need that extra boost of adrenaline, and you won't need that extra rest. We'll be well-oiled spiritual beings at that time. We'll have permanent energy, and we'll be loaded with accomplishments, and it'll all be for the glory of God. You know, Matthew 20 makes some interesting points about work, you know, which we can't cover all of them today, but I want to go over some of those today as well. It has some special insight on work and workers and attitudes and how we, a perspective that we see and everything. Even though I'm prepared for retirement in the next couple of years, I have a list of goals. I have an Excel spreadsheet with goals. I know Lisa's shaking her head. Yeah, she can. I'll never get them all done before I die, I'm sure, at least in this life. But, you know, that's the way it should be. You know, I think every one of us needs to continue on with retirement. Doesn't mean you stop doing. It means that it's a different phase in your life is what it is. And that's how I look at it. I'm not going to stop working. I'm going to be doing different work. And since I've been sitting behind a desk for 33 plus years behind a desk, I want to work with my hands, and there's some other things I'd like to accomplish as well. And I'm definitely looking forward to that. You know, it's better to have too many things to wake up in the morning to than not have anything to accomplish that day. And I have someone very close to me who told me that, who retired this last year and said that he has no purpose in life since he retired. And I feel so sad for him, and I don't know how to encourage him. I've tried to, and he just says, I just have no purpose. He said, you should rethink retiring. I said, oh, no. I said, I showed him my Excel spreadsheet, and he was, I said, there's no way. I said, Mark has some different plans. So, but, you know, we're to take care of our workers. But let's first turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy 5:17. Paul states here, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while he treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. You know, that should be every one of us in whatever we do as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples. We should be worthy of our wages. Now, I know Mr. Thomas, when we do like projects around the church and we're painting and everything, he says, I'm doubling your salary. Nothing times two is still nothing. So, but you know what? We will all be paid someday for all the actions, all the good works that we do, all the help you do around here, everything. And there's so many people who do so much here. And I'm very appreciative of it, and I'm very appreciative of the food as I'm getting hungry, that the ladies bring in all the time, but I'm very appreciative of all the work that everybody does here. From the day that we open the doors here, the amazing things that have been done, I mean, it's been wonderful. Everything that everyone's done as a team here. You know, but we are to take care of our workers. God does instruct his people to pay their workers a fair wage. And he's going to do the same for us someday. So as brethren, I'd like to say that every one of us, and I think it's good that we all work together and everything, but always keep that in mind. If you hire a brethren in God's church, pay them what they are worth if you can afford to pay them. I know there are widows here, and some people volunteer to do things for people who are on a fixed income. That is a different scenario. But I'm saying if you can afford to do it, don't take advantage of a brother in God's church. Pay them their wage. They deserve it. And so does the ministry. That's why we should be tithing regularly. God wants everybody to have that at this time. That's the tithe does go to pay and support God's work in his ministry. We're to take care of the workers, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 20. Go ahead and turn there. I have a few more things to say. It takes some twists and turns in the workday. And for some workers, and I think it teaches us lessons on the employer, the manager, our creator God, so we can apply it in our physical jobs, and we can apply it here as well as God's people, and of course the landowner. So Matthew 20, starting in verse 1. Matthew 21, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. You know, we're all working in the vineyard. Did you know that? You're working in the vineyard. Now, we're to be eager to start our day and to make it productive. I think our master shows us that, the landowner, Jesus Christ. He gets up early. He's a landowner. He gets up early in the morning to hire laborers for the work. We're to be eager to start that day and to be productive. And he went out early, not sleeping, not catching some extra Z's. You know, he planned out the day to hire the workers early on. And we should plan out each day that starts, just like God is giving us the example there. He was a landowner. He takes care of what he has, spending his energies on the resources that he's been blessed with. The landowner in the parable, of course, is Jesus Christ. And we can liken our calling to Jesus Christ hiring us for the vineyard. We are those workers working in the fields. This is our stepping stone, as I mentioned before, that stepping stone. You know, some people are here, they're cleaning the floors. Some people paint, some people have done plumbing, Some people speak, some people contribute music for everyone to enjoy and lead songs and everything, but everybody who does a part of that work, we're all a part of that work to make things work well. That's our stepping out. So let's go to verse 2. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. You know, we made an agreement, a contract at baptism with Jesus Christ, and we have a job to do. We told him that we would step out and work in his vineyard. And we may ask, you know, what am I to do? I don't know what it is I'm supposed to do. Again, what I would say is you have to step out sometimes. Volunteer. Maybe something is not a job that is for you, but if you try it, you'll figure it out. Try different things. It's also whatever God asks of us, but I think a good place to start in being that person in the vineyard is to being a light and obey God. I mean, that's the first thing that all of our jobs are, is to be that light and to obey God and to love him and keep his commandments. That's the start. God will open doors for you as you go through your Christian walk. And each of us has a different door to go through. Not everybody goes through the same set of doors. We don't have the same path. We don't have the same experiences. But we're all to be growing in his truth so that we can serve God, so we can teach others and prepare for God's kingdom. Our job today is to support God's work, and we're to support it in an attitude with our time, by serving the brethren, and through our financial blessings as well. You know, God has given each and every one of us financial blessings. You know, the workers were paid a denarius, and a part of that belongs to God. He owns a tenth of that. When we get paid, God entrusts us with one tenth of whatever we get, and it's only in our possession for a short time. You know, this is stepping out in faith. You know, once we've proven these things, we can prove that belongs to God. I really think God wants to see if we're going to put our money where our mouth is. It is his to begin with. He owns everything. God's own words through Malachi the prophet is to test him. Try him is what it says. Try him. You know, he will bless you in more ways than you'll ever know. More ways than you'll ever know. Talk to so many people who have been in the church and faithfully tithing for many years. I've heard many stories, and Lisa and I have some wonderful stories on that too. But let's turn to Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 18. Malachi 3, 8 through 18. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have I robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. God wants you to try him. Take that challenge. Okay, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 20, verse 3. Matthew chapter 20, verse 3. And he went out the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? That's a good question to ask. Why have we been standing there idle all day if we have? We need to ask that. We're workers. They said to him, because no one hired us, he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. When we have a job and we see something needs to be done, I think you could step out and say, we need to do this job. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner. You know, that really is very, sounds like our culture today. From a worldly perspective and the culture that we live in, this just doesn't seem fair. I mean, am I right? You know, isn't a bonus in order? After all, we've all been out there extra hours working in that hot sun, sweating, and these guys came in at the 11th hour, and they all got a denarius, too. I want to talk to the union steward. You know, it does seem fair from a human perspective. I mean, think about it. I know what I would think at work right out of the gate until I would think on this. You know, we all want to be recognized. I mean, I think that's very human of us. But I think we've gotten to a point in our culture today that self-recognition, you know, look at me, look what I did. Look at this, how wonderful and amazing I am. And I just see with the things that corporations are doing, they're promoting that. And I think a lot of it has to do with some of the way we've treated generations coming up. And praise is good. And honor is good at the right time. But I think the bottom line is that God gets the glory no matter what. God should be getting the glory. You know, God is teaching his people. Our mindset should be different. You know, God's way is the antithesis of our culture. He's teaching us to be givers and not takers. I mean, that's part of our walk, is to learn to be givers and not takers. God calls selfish people to his church. He calls them to change. None of us have to be taken advantage of. I'm not talking about that. You know, but God is the great giver, and he is sovereign. He decides who gets what in this universe, and he created it. It's his to manage. It's his to share, and that's what I see in this parable. It's his to share as he sees fit. He's in charge. You know, we all need to be content with what God has given us. And are we content, or are we looking at others and saying, well, he got this and she got that, and why am I not included in this, and why are they included in that? And we need to keep our nose in our own business sometimes and just say, you know what, this is what I need to do. And I think that's a part of maturing as a Christian as well. I think we need that contentment that God's Holy Spirit can give us. Keep in mind what God has given you, and don't look at what others have. We don't want to compare with what others have. That's exactly what the unhealthy workers in the vineyard were doing. God is generous to each and every one of us. Continuing on in verse 12, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us. You have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? When we agree to something, can our word be trusted? When we agree to that, that's what it should be. That's our word. Or are we not a person of our word? When we say that we'll be there for someone, do we show up or do we make excuses? Verse 14, take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So when someone does good to somebody else, we shouldn't be judging that. Jesus was being generous and paid the workers that started earlier in the day what he promised, and also what they agreed to be paid. Yet out of his generosity, it was his generosity and his money, he wanted to give a little extra to the people at the end of the day. Verse 16, so the last will be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And there's two dynamics going on in that last verse. There's many versus few, and there's called versus chosen. I don't know if you ever thought about that when you're reading that. That right there is like a whole sermon in itself. Well, let's see. Maybe we could go a little. No, I won't do that to you. But let's talk about the many versus few. You know, we're a small flock. There are very few people here. Probably on a good day, I think we're doing about 70, maybe 80 people on a good day. But you, brethren, you're here. God called you. When you show up here, you're making a choice. You are chosen. When you're doing the right things, you are chosen. You're chosen because you're obeying God. God commands an assembly on his Sabbath day. So when you show up, you're obeying God. Every time you're obeying him, you're showing him that you are a part of that chosen, not just called. And you are a few. But I think one thing that we can do better in God's church, and I don't know, I've been thinking about it lately, is how many of us are really praying for more workers coming to the work? I mean, are we doing that on a regular basis? Are we doing that daily to have more workers coming to God's church? When I pray for that, what I ask God is to bring us people of quality who will be dedicated and faithful and want to be peaceable among God's brethren. So there are things that you can pray with that. You know, we need to read, believe, and from there should flow our faithful obedience to God. That obedience comes from a growing heart towards God out of the deep love for him. And that's what really sets a true believer apart. Sets us apart from the people who just stake a verbal claim of Jesus Christ. You know, obedience is a part of our job description. Unfortunately, in the past, some people lost or never had the love of God. Bible study, prayer, fasting, and meditation, other things like the Sabbath, coming to the commanded assembly, and tithing became a burden. You know, this walk isn't a walk of ease or convenience. If you wanted that, then you're in the wrong place. You know, God didn't make his commandments to test us. They were given to protect us and to make us happy and fulfilled, contrary to what this world and Satan the devil would like you to think. They want you to feel like you're missing out on something. Well, I guess you are missing out on something. You're missing out on the personal pain as a result from sin. It's not going to be easy to follow our boss, Jesus Christ. And it'll get harder as the world rapidly changes. And I can promise you that it'll get harder. In fact, Jesus Christ himself promises us that. You know, the right way is contrary to our mainstream culture today. We're told to count the cost before we accepted this job. And there is a cost. So even though we get this denarius, we keep giving. There's a cost. We keep giving. But the good thing is you're investing in your spiritual 401k. And this one's not going to lose, okay? This one's not going to turn into a 101k or anything like that. It won't lose value. It'll just keep growing in value. Jesus warned us that it would be hard and that the work that we do would include things like ingratitude, persecution, mockery, personal losses, and we'll sometimes have to put our own feelings aside and sometimes even our own needs. It's just a part of the job. Jesus Christ told us so, and he did it first. He did it first. Next, let's turn to John 15, John 15, verse 18. John 15, 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken of them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. They'll hate us without a cause too. And they'll hate the work that we do someday. Some people do already. Next, let's turn to Luke 14. Luke 14, 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intended to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You know, the job openings are few. You are one of the chosen candidates, and my question to you today is, how are you doing in your job? Let's make sure that we're praying for more workers. I think it's something that we need to do better. All I can say is that in this walk, we can expect the unexpected. And I don't mean that necessarily to be negative. It can be a very positive thing, too. Lisa and I have had very, very good unexpected experiences, but we've had some hard unexpected experiences, too. But expect the unexpected. I think if we do that and we prepare that in our mindset, I think it'll help prepare each of us in our walk a little bit better, too. We need to understand that it can all be for the good, and it's part of what God plans for each and every one of us. You know, some people may not give up their job for the Sabbath. Some won't tithe. Others may have a deep root of sin. Others may just ride the fence and may never commit to this walk. You know, being a Christian is a commitment. It's 24/7. It's 365 until we take the deep dive. You know, God will finish a work in us only if we let him. It's a choice. That's where you're chosen, if you make those choices. We have to be a willing partner, dedicated and willing to do the work for the denarius. You know, Matthew 20 also has a lesson in envy. We cannot be envious of our brothers and sisters in Christ when they have blessings. We need to be happy for them. If we're taking that approach, how can we call ourselves a Christian? We need to be happy for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are successful in every aspect of their life. And that doesn't just mean financially or physically, a bigger house, a better car, or anything like that. It's in so many different ways. We need to be happy for them. 2 John 1, 8, and I'll just read it. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. You know, someday we're all going to receive a full reward, not just that denarius. Okay, it's actually going to be beyond that, and maybe I'll make a part two of this, because that's just a part of it. What God's looking at in this is our attitudes. How are we looking at our employer? How are we looking at others around us who are working in the vineyard, our brothers and sisters in Christ? What are we doing with that? God's going to have some wonderful rewards for each and every one of us in the future. Let's finish this awesome job that we've all started. What a blessing and what a payday we'll have someday. Keep working. Watch our attitudes in all aspects of our work and keep working towards the goal, the great potential that God sees in each and every one of you.